You ready?
Thank you. Excuse me. Cold medicine.
Okay. That's all right. Take your time. Was that since yesterday?
No, it was yesterday, too. May it please the court. Good morning. Mr. Lige was convicted of possession of unauthorized access devices in connection with a scheme in which he fraudulently induced or attempted to fraudulently induce Sprint Nextel to ship him phones in the names of various other people. In the course of sentencing Mr. Lige for this offense, the probation office, and hence the district court, calculated the guideline loss amount on the basis of the full retail price for which Sprint sold those phones to its retail customers. The probation office's reasoning for using full retail price was that Mr. Lige had deprived Sprint of the sales revenue and profit that Sprint could have earned by selling those phones at full retail to legitimate customers. It's our position that the probation office's assumption that Sprint would have sold all those phones to legitimate customers at full retail, but for Mr. Lige's fraud, is just speculation and conjecture that wasn't backed up by any evidence. And for that reason, the use of the retail price in calculating the guideline loss was erroneous because it was based on speculation and conjecture. And we asked for a remand for resentencing using the wholesale cost.
But it would be proper to use the retail price if there was an evidentiary basis, you're saying?
If there were an evidentiary basis that Sprint actually lost legitimate sales, but that's the key piece of evidence that is missing in this case. And I do want to just point out very briefly.
I'm just trying to be clear. You don't quarrel with it that Judge Lake had the law right as far as the measure that would be applicable. You rather say that, yes, that would be appropriate, but then on this record, there's an insufficient evidentiary basis for that.
We do agree with that, Your Honor. And the point is that the guidelines are purposefully unspecific about whether you use wholesale or retail. And the 11th Circuit explained that very well because they said the loss to the victim should be determined within the factual context of the case, using wholesale, retail, or what other relative values as the circumstances require.
Well, help me here then. Are we saying de novo because it's an error of law, or are you saying abuse of discretion?
Well, I think we're saying the legal methodology was wrong.
But the I thought you just said in answer to the previous question that the methodology is okay if there are facts to back it up.
Well, the methodology is the selection of wholesale versus retail. And that selection between wholesale and retail is a decision of law, albeit informed by whether there's evidence to show that they actually lost sales as a result of Mr. Lige's fraud. But I do want to say, as we pointed out also in the brief, even if you treat this under clearly erroneous review, this court has long held that a sentence that is based on speculation and conjecture is clearly erroneous. I think this is a case where, under any standard of review, the particular error at issue here would require reversal.
You're not arguing that that's not the true retail cost of the phones, are you?
No, we are not, Your Honor. That was obtained from a Sprint representative, and we did not quarrel with it in the district court. Our quarrel is with the use of retail as opposed to wholesale cost under the circumstances of this case. Again, I think the case is very simple. The critical flaw here is that probation simply assumed that Sprint lost sales in the amount of phones that were shipped to Mr. Lige, and that they thereby lost revenue, sales revenue, the full retail price of those phones. And we would submit that, just like this court's decision in United States versus Connor, that this guideline determination, inasmuch as it turns on this speculation or conjecture, is erroneous, it's clearly erroneous, and it does require vacatur of the sentence. One
Why
other
is that speculative that they lost some revenue on these phones? Because I know they could order new ones and sell those phones, but and which is part of your argument, but in the meantime, they could have sold these phones. There's no, I mean, you don't have any evidence that they would only sell this amount of phones in the time period, and they did sell that entire time period, and all the people waited to buy them when the new phones came in. Why is it speculative or conjecture?
Well, imagine, Your Honor, that Sprint had just a warehouse bursting to the seams full of phones, and they had all the phones they needed to sell to the people they needed to sell to, and those were just going to sit there till the end of the year, which I think is a plausible scenario if you have an overstock situation. In that case,
but overstocked is plausible, but isn't, hey, we can sell them as soon as they come in the door, they're selling like hotcakes. Isn't that just as plausible as overstocked?
Well, perhaps it is, but I think the fact that we're able to speculate on both sides of it shows that it is speculative and that it's not a proper basis for the sentence. If the government wanted to come in and show that Sprint did lose sales, which I would think would be a fairly easy thing for Sprint to document, then that would be one thing. But for us to sit here and just speculate about what might or might not have happened if Mr. Lige had not done this is not a proper basis to enhance his sentence under the guidelines. I do want to turn very quickly to the question of harmless error and just point out the government has not made any effort to show this error is harmless, but I don't think on this record they could make that showing because there's no evidence that the district court would have imposed the same sentence in the absence of this error.
Had these been legitimate orders, I take it they would have earned the retail price. But for the fraud, if these had been legitimate sales, they would have earned the retail price.
That's correct, assuming, again, that Sprint was able to sell them to legitimate retail customers.
Well, I'm saying that they thought they were doing that, obviously. That was a fraud.
Right, but in terms of what the guidelines tell us to look at, this court in OLA said you look at you take a realistic economic approach to see exactly what was the pecuniary impact to the victim of the offense. And unless Sprint lost sales, which we don't know because the probation office and the government didn't produce any evidence of that, unless sales were lost, then the realistic pecuniary impact on Sprint was the wholesale cost of those phones plus shipping and handling. I do want to note that even though it's not our burden to show harm, this loss figure was fairly close to the next drop-down level. If the loss had dropped even $46,000 to $200,000 or less, the guideline offense level would be two levels lower, and Mr. Lige's guidelines would drop from 46 to 57 down to 37 to 46. If, for some reason, the loss was ultimately found to be $120,000 or less, it would drop down four levels to 30 to 37. So for these reasons, we would ask the court to vacate and remand for resentencing. Thank you. Sorry, Judge.
I'm sorry. Which circuits support your position, if any? Does the First Circuit support the government's position?
I don't think so. I think the facts of the Hardy case are distinguishable. I haven't really seen a case, except for general principles, a case that is similar to the sort of weird scheme that occurred here. But I think the Ninth Circuit case that might be the Hardy case. I apologize. The Ninth Circuit case supports us, too, and they applied the rule of lenity to actually resolve the case here, which I think would be another way for this court to find in our favor is to find that we've at the very least, made a plausible argument that there was an error in the amount of loss. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crooks. You've saved time for rebuttal. Mr. Turner.
May it please the court, I'm start off by saying we didn't argue harmless error because we don't believe that Judge Lake made an error in this case. Looking at the facts and circumstances of the offense conduct, you have Sprint Nextel offering its legitimate sales to and selling, they think, to 24 legitimate bona fide purchasers. It turns out that all those purchasers are Mr. Lies. We have a fixed value in that. The retail market value is $245,881. That's the point of departure for the judge, is the market value of the phones that he actually purchased fraudulently from Nextel. Not all of them were delivered, but it's the greater amount that is in play. The probation officer makes two suggestions in the addendum. The first is the one from which Mr. Crooks proceeds, and that is the loss of revenue. But they add on to that. There's a second sentence in that, and I'll read it verbatim because they have it here. It's short. Additionally, the alternative loss calculation advocated by defense counsel should not be used in this case. He uses the word since. I think he means because. The intended loss cited in the PSR represents the fair market value of the property unlawfully taken. That fair market value reflects the defendant's conduct in this case. He stole 197 telephones valued at $245,881. Judge Lake, in responding to the PSR, doesn't seize upon the loss revenue analysis. He says precisely, the retail price of the phones that you received through your fraudulent conduct, the judge is focused upon the sale to Lies of the $245,000 worth of telephones. His analysis then flows from there to this Bay case, in which he reflects the market value. And if he continued to read Bay, it would have rejected the, in fact, they rejected the loss revenue analysis later in the Bay opinion, where they say loss profit value is an undesirable measure of loss. It would penalize frauds differently depending on whether the victim was. So implicitly, the judge rejected that loss revenue analysis from the beginning.
So the defendant is operating in the retail market, and he's...
Yes. Yes, he's
not he's not trying to do wholesale phone sales and fraudulently get in the wholesale market. He's in the retail market.
He's in the retail market, precisely, Your Honor. And that's what the judge was working from. Speaking of the 11th Circuit, the Patterson case is cited in our brief, and there are two observations from there which I think are germane in this. One, they remarked that the focus is on the conduct of the defendant and the objective financial risk to the victims caused by the conduct. Here, the risk is $245,000 worth of telephones that Sprint and Nextel believe they sold to these consumers. Next, they observed that when a sentencing court is determining the proper punishment for a defendant's fraud, the court uses the reasonable mathematical limit of the scheme rather than its concrete result. A criminal pays the price for the ambition of his acts, not their thoroughness. In this case, this is what Judge Lake did. He measured, and he had a fair measure, the market value of the telephones. He applied that in calculating the loss. It reflected the seriousness of the offense. For those reasons, we think that the court should be affirmed in this, in all regard.
Where was that quote, criminal pays the price for his ambition, not his thoroughness?
It's United States versus Patterson, 595 Fed 3rd, at page 1327. If the court has no additional questions, I'll yield the remainder of my time.
Thank you, Mr. Turner. Mr. Crooks, for rebuttal.
I did just want to point out that the district court did adopt the PSR, and that adoption is found in the statement of reasons for judgment. There was an adoption except for one independent objection that Judge Lake granted. Looking at the PSR addendum language that Mr. Turner was referring to, what that's referring to is we objected that the wholesale cost of the phone should be used. But if for some reason it was impossible to determine that, the guidelines say that you should use an alternate loss calculation in the amount of the gain to the defendant. And the probation officer came back and said, well, we're using intended loss here because, of course, Mr. Lige didn't get all the phones that he fraudulently ordered. We're using intended loss, and you're supposed to use the fair market value. We think retail is the fair market value. But the linchpin of the ruling to use retail value was the fact that they believed that Sprint had lost a business opportunity, that they had lost legitimate retail sales that they could have made to legitimate retail customers. And finally, Mr. Turner refers to the appropriate measure for amount of loss being the risk to the victims of his conduct. Well, we submit that unless you have the finding that Sprint lost business opportunities, that they lost the opportunity to sell to legitimate retail customers, the risk of loss to Sprint was the wholesale cost of the phones and shipping and handling. And Very simply, this is a case of missing evidence, and the sentencing calculation in this case can't stand in the absence of that evidence, and we would ask for vacatur of the sentence. Thank you.
Thank you, Mr. Crooks. Your case and all of today's cases are under submission. The court is in recess under the usual order.